To some, a baby's babbling doesn't mean much, but it does. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, August 14th. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. Federal relief programs have helped millions of small businesses stay afloat during the pandemic. They've also attracted fraudsters looking for quick money. And efforts to root out the bad guys have inadvertently swept up some legitimate businesses in the process.
We've talked to people who've been contacted by law enforcement. We talked to a guy who went into the bank branch to clear up what he thought was a small paperwork issue and ended up being interrogated by three Secret Service agents.
Our reporter Liz Hoffman will tell us how the process became so vulnerable to fraud and what's being done to help law-abiding businesses avoid unnecessary run-ins with law enforcement. That's after the break.
When the world is at a standstill, facts can move us forward. Facts help us make decisions and bring us together even as we're apart. The Wall Street Journal has the facts in these uncertain times. Get the latest on the coronavirus outbreak with free coverage of the crisis and its impact on the economy, politics, culture, and daily life. Find the clarity you need with America's most trusted news source. Visit WSJ.com and stay informed.
Millions of small businesses got some much-needed cash from the Paycheck Protection Program ahead of last weekend's application deadline. Officials are looking out for fraud, but their efforts have had an unintended consequence. Some legitimate business owners are getting swept up in the enforcement process. Our banking reporter Liz Hoffman joins us to discuss. So first of all, Liz, how much fraud are we talking about?
Estimates vary. It could be high single-digit percentages of the money that was lent out. But in the effort to find those fraudsters, very legitimate borrowers are getting swept up in the process. And it's particularly problematic for sole proprietors, gig workers, freelancers who don't necessarily have the same business account set up that a big company would.
Now, you and reporter Peter Rudiger have spoken with several legitimate small business owners who got caught up in the roundup of fraudsters. What did they go through?
The first thing that happens is that their bank accounts get frozen. And in particular, these are small businesses who, for the most part, run their company finances through their personal bank accounts, which is not illegal, but which the Small Business Administration has flagged as a potential sign of something fishy going on. So the first thing that happens is that they can't access any of their money. We've talked to people who've been contacted by law enforcement. We talked to a guy who went into the bank branch to clear up what he thought was a small paperwork issue and ended up being interrogated by three Secret Service agents. So, you know, it really runs the gamut. But the main thing is a personal inconvenience. People have missed car payments. They've missed home payments. They've missed tax payments. They bounced checks, all because someone thought they were a criminal when they were not.
Secret Service? Why are they involved?
There are a lot of law enforcement agencies who've been pulled into the stimulus enforcement efforts. Secret Service historically was part of the Treasury Department, so they do have some oversight over, for example, the integrity of currency and that kind of thing. But we've talked to people who were contacted by Department of Health and Human Services, the Small Business Administration, the IRS has gotten involved. The issue is that the Small Business Administration itself isn't a law enforcement agency. They don't really have the resources to audit, you know, 5 million loans. So they've pulled in other federal law enforcement agencies.
Now, you mentioned some things that the businesses are doing that are, you know, tripping off alarms. Why are some legitimate businesses being rounded up and others aren't?
The thing to know about bank compliance systems is that they're a pretty blunt instrument. Banks are, in a sense, they're sort of tools of the law where it's their job to flag suspicious activity and, if they need to refer it to law enforcement. And so, you know, banks have put in all of these systems that are designed through artificial intelligence, through manual processes, to flag things that have historically shown a pattern of being associated with fraud or crime. But it's a pretty blunt instrument, and they seem to have erred on the side of over-investigating rather than under-investigating here.
And what kind of hoops do these businesses have to go through to get themselves back in the clear?
Some people have cleared it up with, for example, a letter from a certified public accountant saying that this is a legitimate business. It's existed for years. You know, like I said, one man we talked to had to convince the Secret Service that he wasn't a criminal. It usually requires additional documentation. Occasionally, loans have been returned to the SBA, which requires the borrower to go back and apply again. And in the meantime, they don't have access to money that presumably they needed or that was replacing income that they've lost.
Who's reporting the suspected fraud to the government?
These are big banks, for the most part. We talked to people who banked with Chase, and we talked to people who banked with tiny credit unions. So it really seems to run the gamut. Every bank handles these things a little bit differently. But, you know, the sense we get is that banks are very wary of getting in trouble here. You all remember the mortgage crisis when, yes, in addition to outright fraud, there was a lot of just shoddy paperwork and bad systems, and banks ended up paying billions and billions of dollars in fines because of that. So they're very nervous about having been kind of dragooned into participating in this program, that they're then going to end up in trouble in a couple of years. And so my sense is that they are being aggressive in trying to root out any whiff of fraud.
Did the speed at which PPP loans were approved play a role in the fraud problem?
Almost certainly, and the Small Business Administration has said as much, that their goal was speed, to get money out quickly to people who needed it. And when you do that, you sacrifice some diligence that might otherwise prevent people from scamming the government. You didn't have to show a whole lot. You had to provide some tax information. You had to provide proof of payroll and other things. But, you know, the goal was to get money out fast. And the government has admitted that that comes with the risk that it went to people who shouldn't have gotten it. And in fact, the IRS has said it went to a lot of dead people, which, you know, is not anyone's fault, but it shows you that sort of things fell through the cracks here.
Are there efforts to clean up this process so law-abiding businesses, you know, don't get caught up in this going forward?
You know, there's likely to be another round of these stimulus loans that are available. I should say there's still money left in the existing programs, but as the businesses who got those loans need them again, there's likely to be another round of this. And I'm sure the government is going to try to do it a little better this time, and certainly will be on the lookout for things that have shown to be pretty problematic. But again, it's just a balance of, do you want to get the money out fast, or do you want to make sure that it only goes to the right people? And there's always a trade-off there.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Liz Hoffman. Liz, thanks for coming on the show.
Happy to be here.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.